All rise. Court is in session. Call now, 215-263-1079. Court Radio 107.9 WRNB is on. Brought to you exclusively by the law offices of Silvers, Langsam, and Weitzman, better known as MyPhillyLawyer.com.
And a wonderful Sunday morning to you. It is Labor Day weekend, and we are very happy that you've decided to get up early and join us. This is Court Radio. I am your co-host, Tiffany Bacon. And again, happy Sunday. I'd like to introduce to you the one, the only Dean Weitzman, and of course, the one and only David Epport. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning, Tiffany.
How you guys feeling today?
It's a holiday. It's Woo-hoo! A holiday. Woo-hoo!
Feeling
Woo-hoo!
Good.
Yeah, and it's beautiful out.
Beautiful out,
yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have been blessed with some really wonderful weather this summer.
Recently.
Yeah, we've had some rain, a little bit of rain. But you know what? We got green grass.
Yeah.
That's true. Green grass. So you got to find the blessing somewhere.
Yeah, if you look at Fairmount Park, it's starting to look a little bit like a rainforest. It's so overly green right now.
Yeah. Things have been blooming all over the place.
But then they have the wildfires out on the other side of our country.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, everything's brown and dying out there, and
not cool.
It's not good. So I'll take the green with a little rain.
Mm-hmm.
What else is going on? You know, the Phillies last night dropped another
one. Your boy Brad.
Yeah.
0-7.
I think that... I don't know. I'm thinking that they need to move on. You know, I know it's late in the season and all that, but they could bring Moyer into close, you know, regularly and probably do a better job. No offense, Brad. Like, you know, God bless and keep trying, but you know, do it in the Little League, but I mean
Minor League.
Minor League. That's it. Brad needs to go to the minor leagues for a little while, get his head squared away, and then come back.
Wow.
Because we can't be having that kind of performance as we enter into the playoff season.
Mm-hmm. It's actually 10, I think, games, but 7 in a row for him.
Well, all right, that's enough of the Phillies. They're going to be there at the end. We know that. But the question is whether they're going to survive through the first round of the playoffs if they don't have the proper depth.
Yeah,
you know, closing guy.
Closing's key.
It is. I mean, we were winning. We had the lead, and he blew it again. So, and I don't understand Charlie Manuel sometimes. You know, I mean, I know you try to give the guys all that, you know, the opportunity to pull themselves up by their own bootstraps, but I mean,
he has unyielding faith, and he sometimes he just lets them go.
He goes down with the ship.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
All right.
Wow. He doesn't make. You do notice that he certainly doesn't make a lot of changes during games that a lot of other managers do. Like sometimes at the end of a game, you'll see managers switching feverishly. They go through their whole lineup, you know.
Right.
He doesn't do that. He has faith in the players. And like you said, sometimes he goes down with the ship.
Yep. All right. Thank you very much. People, enjoy your barbecues today and your families. Or tomorrow. I often celebrate these holidays on the Sunday so that I can just sort of chill.
On the Monday.
On the Monday.
Yeah, it's good.
Because otherwise you're rush thinking about work. At least I am anyway. Well, I'm already in work mode on Monday. So
preparing for the week.
Yep.
So listen, if you have any questions of a legal nature, feel free to give us a call at 215-263-1079. This is your opportunity to have those questions answered. Again, the number to reach us right here in the studio is 215-263-1079. So what is our hot button topic for the day?
I don't know. Well, you know, it's a lazy Sunday. It's a holiday. What was the number they're supposed to call again?
215-263-1079.
See, I can ask her to say that as many times as I want, and she's always smiling and always says it.
How's this? We usually have to give away a My Philly Lawyer pack. How about first caller?
First caller. Wow.
You like that?
They're rushing to the phones.
Do you like
now.
That one?
Yeah, I like it. Why not? Yeah.
That's nice.
It's an easy one. I mean, you don't even have to pull out your laptop or anything for that.
No.
The phones are already ringing.
Look at that. Boy, that did it. Tell me that did not do it.
Poppity, pop, pop, right away. Pop, yeah. I've gotten so many nice people come up to me in the last week or so and say, wow, you know, We really love Court Radio and Tiffany Bacon and David Rappaport. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank you. It's
awesome.
Been, yeah, the listeners have
it
been very
awesome.
Kind, and they're always mm-hmm. supportive of Court Radio.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, Court Radio is getting so big that it should be really the home of Court Radio. Mm-hmm. You know, no more home of Tom Joyner, Mr. Joyner.
This, you know what?
107.9.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Here we go.
107.9.
I sense a meeting coming on. If someone's listening to this broadcast, we're going to have a meeting next week.
The home of Court Radio. No, okay.
We need to speak to Dean Whiteson. Bring him in, please.
Have mercy. Well, it looks like Pat from Philadelphia is our first caller, and Pat is going to win
the My Philly Lawyer
very
Pack.
Special. Yes. Hi, Pat.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Hi, Pat.
Are you happy you won today, Pat? Are you happy you won?
Yes, I am.
All right.
I wasn't winning anything.
Well, you won this time.
You won.
Just do this. Last week, the person who won didn't give, they hung up before they gave us their address, so don't do that.
Yeah,
Stay on the line.
Stay on the line. We're going to send you a My Philly Lawyer Pack. You're going to get all kinds of good tchotchkes that you can use this week.
Oh, great.
All right.
Thank you.
So did you actually have a question?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I have a question. My sister, who's handicapped, has been living in this apartment complex for 8 years. She is a type of person. She's handicapped mentally, but she pays all her bills on time. She's able to live on her own. She has Section 8. She moved in this complex on the 3rd of the month, so she stayed here 8 years. She was moving out on the 3rd of September, but what her landlord did, he removed all of her items out of her apartment and put them in a storage bin because he said he had to get ready for the next tenant that was coming in. The apartment had to be inspected. She has a lot of things missing.
Mm. I think I smell a lawsuit coming.
I smell landlord
is
a bad boy.
You. I'm going to have her call your office
Absolutely.
Tomorrow because I am so angry.
Yeah, you can't take self-help.
Can't do that.
No self-help, you know, you got to.
Thank you.
You know, and if there's any.
And I think because they know her status is mental, okay, but she takes care of herself well, okay, has her medicine under control, she does what she's supposed to do. I think they took advantage of that, thinking, oh, she ain't going to know what's missing.
Right.
Oh, my God, the items that are, they took bleach from underneath the sink.
Just know this.
Your clothes. Oh, I'm so upset.
Just know this.
I want you guys to take care of this.
You're going to need the receipt, if you can. You're going to need some proof of the things that you claim have been taken, okay?
And just create a list, an inventory of all.
That's what I tell her to do as she is still unpacking.
Right. Prepare a list of all the missing items and their approximate value.
And if you have receipts for them, that's even better.
And once you have that list together, give us a call at 215-227-2727. The home of My Philly Lawyer, 215-227.
Stay on the line.
2727.
Yes, Pat, don't go anywhere because we do need your information so we can send you the My Philly Lawyer prize pack, okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
All right,
sure.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
All right, you guys have a good holiday.
You too.
And I'm
going
to hold on.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Don't forget you are listening to Court Radio on Philadelphia's R&B station 107.9 FM. And it's brought to you by the law offices of Silver, Slangsman, Weitzman, better known as MyPhillyLawyer.com. You can reach us in studio now at 215-263-1079.
Okay. I know you're just waiting. Everybody is aghast.
Everyone on the line, just hold on.
What is today's hot topic? Well, today's hot topic is...
Dun, 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 dun. You want me to say?
Go ahead.
Identity theft.
Identity theft.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's a big one.
Yeah. We've had people, here's the setup. We've had people call us and say, hey, my credit, identity for my credit has been stolen. Somebody got a credit card in my name. They've blown out my credit. What do I do? Where do I go? How do I prevent it? How do I solve the problem once it happened? And we felt, David and I thought about it long and hard, and we felt like this is really the topic that we need to get into today. People have to understand, and I think people do, how important our credit is in our lives. It really enables us to do everything that we want to do, buy cars and houses and have a credit card for back-to-school clothes, and you name it. You know, credit is so important, and so it's easily stolen, and we need to make sure. Whoa.
Oh.
Okay, Dean.
Dean's phone.
Did you hear that chirping?
Yeah, what was that?
That's my phone. We need to sure that this doesn't happen. And so there's three D's, the three D's of credit identity theft: deter, detect, and defend. So
there's crickets again.
Deter. How do you deter identity theft?
Well, there's a lot of ways.
First of all, you know, we all are inundated with junk mail, and it has a lot of our private information contained on there. You cannot just toss it. You have to
shred it.
Mm-hmm.
Shred your private information. Go out and get one of those, you know, $50 shredders over at some of the big box stores, which we won't name because they haven't paid us to name them. But, you know, you want to shred this information.
I always think about that. Like, if you get a credit card application, well, you know what? In today's climate, they don't come anymore. You notice that. But when they did, you would get every week, you'd get 10, you know, 12. Sign up for this credit card. It's an application. It's got your name on it. Someone, you think about it, someone could have taken that, filled it out, just changed the address. I moved. Here's my new address. And now there's a credit card given to them in your name.
Here's what they
need.
That
happened a lot.
In order to do that, what's the one key piece of information you need?
Social Security.
Exactly.
And I was going to say, Dean, that was the one thing I thought of. Without researching this, the one thing I thought of was, and I don't know if this is still the culture, but I know growing up, and everyone I knew, whether it be my mother, my father, me, everybody, in their wallet kept a Social Security card.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I defy anyone to tell me why they had a Social Security card.
In case I couldn't remember the number. Maybe.
I never used it. Well, I never used it ever, but that is the worst thing you could possibly do. If you lose your wallet, now the person has your name, your address, credit cards, and your Social Security number. All they need to do is call any credit card company. They always ask you what? Those key questions. One of them is, what's the last four numbers of your Social Security number?
Right.
Boom. Person has it. They're in your account.
Here's the
thing.
Wire
me over some money, whatever.
You nailed it on the head. The thing is, you do not carry your Social Security card in your wallet.
Never.
Mm-hmm.
Take it out, put it in the house somewhere, separate it from your person, and forget it. You know, I mean, you were half serious, Tiffany, when you said they needed to remember it. But the truth is that people in our generation know their Social Security number because we needed it for school.
Right.
And so it was something we had to learn, like, how to spell your last
your phone
name.
Number,
exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
You're right.
But in any event, your Social Security card does not belong in your wallet ever. Okay. And you don't give out personal information on the phone.
Right.
You know, when people call you and ask you for personal information, the last thing you want to give them is your Social Security number. Just refuse. Do not do it. And that will go a long way to protecting you. And one of the last ways is also, nowadays, we're a very internet-intensive world. And so the internet, you think it's some private thing that's only occurring on your computer screen, but it's going out to the rest of the world. And you have to limit how much information you provide over the internet. And you don't know whether the site you're dealing with is secure or unsecure. Mm-hmm. Just have to be careful with your private information. And don't use obvious passwords like, you know, Tiffany.
You know, Bacon, that,
right,
101.
Right, there you go. Bacon
09.
Yeah, that's probably not a good idea. Or use your Social Security number as your password.
Yeah, that would be kind of defeat the whole purpose. Yeah.
Right. So you want to get, you know, a unique password that has numbers, letters, and if possible, even symbols, like, you know.
And stuff you can remember. That's the big thing.
Yeah, that's key.
That's always been an issue for me.
Well, the reason that's key is you need to remember it, is I know a lot of people, this may sound silly, but it happens. They create all these passwords, and then they keep a list of the passwords in their wallet so they can remember them. You know, duh, you lose your wallet. Everyone has all your passwords. You can't write them down and keep them with you because that defeats the purpose of it.
So
well, we do have some callers. So,
okay.
All right.
All right. We do have some callers. It's Court Radio on 107.9 WRNB. This is Court Radio. You can reach us with your question at 215-263-1079. Rhonda is calling in from North Philadelphia. Good morning, Rhonda. You're live with Court Radio.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Rhonda.
I have a question. son is child support.
Okay.
In February of 2007, I went to court because welfare took my daughter's father to court because she was receiving funds. When we went to court, they said that we couldn't get any child support from him because he receives SSI. So I don't, like, I was confused, like, is there any way that I can go, you know, around him supposedly getting his SSI check? Because when I talked to his mother, she's saying that he doesn't collect the check. But they have it on record down in the courts that he do.
Well, that sounds like an evidentiary problem. I mean, primarily, if he's not receiving SSI, if he's not disabled, that, and you can prove that to the court's satisfaction. Oh, we're getting a little feedback.
You
got to
turn down your radio, I think.
If he's not receiving the disability check, and you can prove that, then the court will award you child support.
I think you can call the Social Security Administration and find out. If you know the person, so we're talking about identity theft, but if you know that individual's Social Security number, that member of your family, you can go, I think, online or call them and find out if they're getting benefits. You know, they won't necessarily tell you all the information, but they can tell you what type of benefits the person receives and if they're receiving them. I've done it in my office. You can go online and you put the person's name in, their social, their date of birth, and they'll tell you whether it's SSD, SSI, and how long they've been on the benefit. So you might be able to just confirm or whether it's true or not that this person is or is not receiving the benefits and then go from there.
And it sounds to me, though, I mean, in all fairness, like, you know, you're hearing this second and third hand.
Yeah,
I think you said that somebody from his family said he was not receiving benefits. Is that what you said?
Yeah, his mom.
His mom.
When I presented the court papers to her because they dismissed the child support case because he was collecting SSI benefits, when I showed his mom the papers, she was saying, like, no, he never got a chance to get the check. Somebody else might be getting it or whatever, whatever. But my thing is not him, like, you know, the receiving the check. In the courts, they have it on paper that he received it. So I want to know, is there a way that I can, like, go around, you know, that situation to try to collect child support?
No. If in fact he's receiving it and he's on disability, then you're not going to go around the court system to get paid. You know, I mean, he can always, I suppose, he can agree, but it doesn't sound like he's willing to agree. But he could agree to pay you child support independent of the court without a court order. There's nothing wrong with that, but that doesn't sound like that's going to be the case. You're looking for a court order. You're looking for somebody to force him to pay
right.
you. And the only party who can force him to pay you in Philadelphia
court.
Is the courts.
Oh, man.
Sorry, couldn't give you better information or the information you probably wanted to hear. But nonetheless, enjoy your holiday and have a great Sunday.
You too. Thank you all.
Bye-bye. Okay.
All right, thank you. We have Anita calling in from New Jersey. Good morning. You're live on the air with Court Radio.
Good morning, everyone.
Good
I have
morning.
A question. I have my identity stolen. What are the three keys that I should take when I first someone notify me, like my credit cards? What should I do?
Okay, well, this is now we're getting down to you jumped from the first one is deter. That's how to prevent it. And then the second one is detect. That's how to find out whether somebody has been using your credit.
Sure, he did.
Which you obviously have already done. And the last is to defend. Deter, detect, and defend. And the defend is, what do you do once you find out? Well, here's what you do. You put a fraud alert on your credit report. You put a fraud alert on your credit report by calling any one of the three major credit reporting bureaus, either Equifax, Experian, or TransUnion. And I'm just going to give you one number right now, and
okay.
you can look up the others. TransUnion, 1-800-680-7289.
A fraud alert.
1-800-680-7289. And that's the toll-free number for TransUnion. You call them and you put a fraud alert. And when you make a fraud alert, you're telling them that you believe that there's been fraud committed against your credit profile, they have to give you a free copy of your credit report. Now, when you get this credit report, you need to look at it carefully and make sure that each and every credit entry on the report is, in fact, credit that you've established. Locate the one or ones that are not yours, that you know you didn't get. And then those are the ones that were fraudulently obtained, and you're going to then notify those individual credit, like let's say it was a Sears. You know you don't have a Sears card, but you see on your credit report that there is a Sears account opened in your name. You need to close those accounts. Close the accounts that are fraudulently obtained. And then last but not least, file a police report. Call the police and let them know that your credit has been ripped off, and give them the details, and they'll open a complaint and there'll be a record of it. So those are the three things. Got it?
I got it.
Beautiful.
Good.
Thank you
very much for jumping us from deter, detect, and into defend. You closed the subject.
I just needed to know really bad on that one, because I want to get a jump start, because they called me on my phone yesterday. So I just wanted to know exactly what to do.
See, this was a timely topic for you then.
Yeah,
huh?
And definitely be wary of new charges on any of your credit cards or anything like that.
Yeah, I listen to you every morning when I do my paper route. So
okay. There you go. Thank
Excellent.
You.
Right.
The home of Court Radio.
Thanks a lot, Anita. Have a great day. This is Court Radio on Philadelphia's R&B station 107.9 WRNB. If you're sitting back and you're wondering what to do if you or someone close to you are involved in an automobile accident, slip and fall, personal injury, or medical malpractice, contact the law offices of Silvers, Langsam & Weitzman, the home of My Philly Lawyer. They have over 100 years of combined experience, and they will aggressively fight for you. Call now for your free personal consultation, and remember, they don't get paid until you get paid. For answers to your questions and more, call 215-227-2727. You can call them tomorrow morning at 215-227-2727 or visit them online at myphillylawyer.com. Can't wait till tomorrow. Call us right now at 215-263-1079. We have Monifa, I think it is. Monifa calling in from Philadelphia. Monique?
Yes.
Monique, okay. Good morning. I'm sorry. Good morning, Monique. You're live on the air with Court Radio.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. What's your question?
I'm calling about court custody battle. Okay, my kid's father used to live with his wife. He's no longer living with his wife. And he lives somewhere with another girl. And he has my kids that I don't know where they at.
He permanently has them, or
yes.
he just has
permanently,
them.
He permanently has them.
Okay, is there a court order?
Yes.
Okay, and he has primary physical custody.
Yes, because when I used to live in a shelter, they award him, and then I had my apartment at the same time. They still award him full custody.
Okay, and you have visitation.
Yes,
partial custody.
But you don't know where he is.
I don't know where he is. He stopped. Bring them to me.
Okay, well, you can file a modification of the custody order, which really means you need to...
I did that. I got out of the court September the 9th.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
But being so he's selling drugs, I was trying to get an emergency custody, and they denied me.
Okay. Right. Well, then, I mean, you know, today is the...
The 9th is Wednesday, right?
Yeah. All right. So, I mean, you're just a few days away from having your hearing... And you need to bring up all these things. Let me ask you a question. Do you have representation for that hearing?
Yeah, I got papers for the hearing.
No, do you have a lawyer?
No, they wouldn't accept me.
Who, the legal services?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Well, I mean, you know, I don't know what your situation's like, but I would say that having representation, having an attorney there to help you in this process is certainly... the way to go if you can afford it, because going on your own, you may not know what arguments to raise. But if you cannot afford an attorney and you've not been able to get one appointed for you under the legal aid, then I would say make sure you take notes, copious notes before you go, so they have all of the arguments that you want to make before you get there written down, so you won't forget anything. Because when you get caught up in the battle, you know, you might just forget certain important points that you want to raise. And I, you know, we don't know how the court's going to decide, but they should have all of the information. So take your time and write it down beforehand. Bring that paper with you so that you can just read it if you have to, if you get yourself all twisted up.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Have a great Sunday.
Good luck.
Good
Thanks
luck
a lot,
on
Monique.
Wednesday.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Don't forget to give us a call with a question. 215-263-1079.
You know, folks.
Yes.
Some states listed, some states. Okay,
some states.
Require credit reporting agencies, upon the request of the consumer,
mm-hmm.
who calls and says, hey, my credit's been ripped off and people are taking credit out in my name. The credit reporting agency, like TransUnion, Equifax, etc., they're required to block the inaccurate information that resulted from your identity theft.
Mm.
So they can't keep that information on your credit report. It can't harm you in future transactions.
Why only some states?
Well, that's a good question. Now, one might ask.
Sounds like every state should.
One might ask, does the Commonwealth, the great Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, protect their consumers like, let's say, Arizona does?
I'm going to say no, by the way.
Of course not. Of course not. Because our legislature are too busy trying to figure out where they can get new criminal laws to lock up more people.
Right.
You know, this has been a favorite topic of mine because it's something I'm going to talk to Seth about when he comes on.
Where are those crickets, Tiffany?
Yeah.
Can we stop? No, go ahead.
I mean, you know, how about a little consumer protection? How about that? Why doesn't the legislature, these 300 and some odd ladies and gentlemen who we pay a lot of money to go schlep from their little county, wherever they are, to Harrisburg, why don't they figure out ways to protect consumers? Like, maybe we should have a law like Arizona has that says, when my credit's been ripped off, all I have to do is call one credit reporting agency, boom, they share it amongst themselves, and then they have to remove it from my credit report, and it doesn't affect me. I'm protected. I'm clothed in the protection of the laws of the great Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. But no, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania is leaving me run around naked.
Kick them all out.
I don't have
any
laws. Of course, kick them all out. No, we can't kick them all out. Some
you
got
to vote to kick them out.
Some of them are actually intelligent, well-thinking individuals. There aren't many. There aren't many, but some of them are intelligent, well-thinking individuals, and we want them to continue to represent us. But please, please, it is time for the consumer. It's time for the individual.
Yeah, but you know,
figure out ways to make my life easier.
As I said before, though, this is, I think, a byproduct of what I said, I think, last show. We were talking about this a little bit. The credit card industry has been such a powerful, unregulated industry, and it still is to a large extent. But as the times got a little worse, more regulation has occurred, and I think any regulation is pro consumer, in my opinion, because the unregulated industry is just, you know, it's rampant. They look what they're doing. When this economy became bad, immediately they were sending out notices, raising interest rates indiscriminately. You were late payment, boom, you got 25% interest on your credit card.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I mean, just total unregulated, reckless abandon. They can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
And this is a byproduct of that.
I dare I say that this is a leftover from the Republican administration.
Dun, 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 dun.
Hey, listen. It was during George Bush's tenure that, you know, they completely rewrote the bankruptcy laws.
Regulation was a four-letter word.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they rewrote the bankruptcy laws, so it made it very difficult for average Joes to go file a bankruptcy. And you know what?
And what the credit card thing was, that was one of the big provisions. Then they make it, used to be that you could discharge credit card debt in certain bankruptcies, and one of the big changes in that law that the Republicans established was that no credit card can be extinguished.
I can't endorse the fact that it's no, because that's not true. But it is much more difficult. It's much more difficult, and much less can get discharged. So, you know, it just seems to me that we, you know, if we're going to get some protection, we need that protection from the legislature. Instead of trying to figure out like ways to take the power away from the judges of the Commonwealth and have mandatory sentences and whatnot, you know, stop monkeying around with things like that. Get in there and figure out ways to make my life easier as a consumer in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. You know, that's what we need. That's what we're all looking for. You know, let's talk about rehab. Let's talk about ways to get ourselves squared away, and stop with the laws that really don't do anything to help us. So, Tiffany, what's the number people call?
You can reach us here at the studio at 215-263-1079. We are 107.9. WRMB, home of Court Radio,
of course.
So if you have any legal questions, you can give us a call right now. No need to wait until tomorrow, because Dean and David are here now. 215-263-1079.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome very much.
Okay, so...
So as far as identity theft, I know... When did that start? That's just my question. When did that start becoming a big problem? Because I remember back in the day... my Temple ID had my social security number on the front of it.
Right. Yeah, mine too.
Mine did too.
You know,
you're right.
It was big.
I think it's always been a problem, but it really started to get rampant. I really think there's a link between identity theft and the internet. When we became an internet society, it really became rampant because people were indiscriminately giving out information. Mm-hmm. You know, they would get an email that said, this is your bank. You know, there's a lot of this stuff. I get them a lot, too, the Bank of America.
Right.
It looks like a Bank of America email. It's asking you for personal information. Mm-hmm. You have a Bank of America account. You say, oh, geez, they need my information.
Right.
It's a total fake email, and you're sending someone all of your information. And then you find that out later. So I think the internet had a lot to do with it.
Because I'm just thinking, like, with your master ID number being on the front of your college identification, you're on a college campus. You know, there's always a wise, cracky, smart alecky kind of person. Like, all of your information is right there on your ID. So I'm just wondering, you know, I would have thought that maybe it would have been even more prevalent then when it
you
was
think,
so easy.
Yeah, well, I think it was prevalent. It just wasn't as open in the public and the media. But you made me think of something. I had a conversation with someone yesterday before we even, you know, talked about this topic. Mm-hmm. And he said something to me that it hasn't happened to me, but I've seen it happen. He went to a grocery store that he had never been to before. He wanted to use a credit card. And they asked him for his ID.
Mm-hmm.
This is, you know, a grown man. They asked him for his license to use the credit card to pay. And they wanted to copy his license.
Mm-mm.
And he said, are you insane? You want me to give you my driver's license with my name, my address, all my date of birth, all my personal information, and you're going to take my credit card number and my credit card. And give it to who? The clerk in the back who's 18 years old and wants to... I mean, what are you, nuts?
Mm-hmm. It gets worse.
And they wanted it. They said, you can't buy your stuff. So he said, I'm leaving. Mm-hmm. And he left. He didn't give it to them. Now, a lot of people would have.
Mm-hmm.
It gets worse. You go into a store nowadays and you want to use cash.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I use cash.
Right.
And they say, okay, can we have your name? And can we have your email address?
Email address,
and
right.
can we have your address? And can we have your telephone number?
So
why would you need all of that private personal information if I'm using cash? Because they're building databases.
Yeah, they want to send. Well, they want to send you mailers and all.
Give
sorts
them
of
nothing.
Stuff.
That's my advice today.
Yes.
Give them nothing
except the payment, and that's it.
Yeah.
I'm kind of tired of them asking for my zip code every time I buy something.
Zip code. Yeah, they're.
What's your zip code?
Right. They want to know if people in 19154 buy. You know, toilet paper from this store.
Right. I mean, interestingly enough, though, Tiffany, I wonder whether college IDs still have.
They don't.
They don't. Okay.
No, because my brother went to Temple. He was there in 2000, and his ID does not have.
Because I'll bet
it did not have it.
The only reason I think it's not prevalent, think about it. I know when I went to Temple and I had my ID, I didn't have anything. I didn't have any money
right.
for someone to take or any right. credit. So, you know, they could take my Social Security. Go ahead. I don't care.
Nowadays kids in college, they get credit cards right away.
And right.
Well, we did, too. I mean, you know, if you walked past SAC, they had all the guys out there with the Snickers, and they know you're hungry, and you're in between dinner and lunch, and you can't go to the cafe to get anything to eat, and you don't have any money on you.
Right.
So they offer you a Snickers or something, and they say, hey, sign this.
Yeah.
You know, how many of us did that?
And then you
did.
Have a credit card with $500 on
credit it. Card yeah. in a month.
Well,
you know?
But again, back when I went to school, back in the beginning of time.
The beginning, oh, yeah, gosh. That was a long time.
You're not that much older.
They did not give credit at that time.
Yeah,
I mean, wow. You needed to have a job,
okay.
You know, a little thing like that. You needed to be able to prove you could actually pay
right.
for the credit card.
Wow.
Now they don't do that. They just
yeah, after that. Well, yeah. No, now they are even worse now. But yeah. back, you're talking 10 years ago, they would just give credit to your dog.
Yeah.
You could sign your dog up and get a credit card.
Yeah, really. You,
now,
you
though, try and get a credit card.
Yeah, well, that and hence why we have a recession now.
That's right. So try and get one now, though.
Listen,
about it?
Call 1-877-ID-THEFT. 1-877, people are running for pens now. 1-877-ID-THEFT. That's the toll-free number for the FTC, or Federal Trade Commission, where you should report ID theft.
Uh-huh.
And you know what? There's a real big scam going on. I'm going to give a scam alert. Scam alert.
Uh-oh.
Scam alert.
Some guy in Nigeria wants to send you $10 million.
Well, close.
Okay.
an email, online ad, or website says you're eligible to get an economic stimulus payment.
Ouch. Mm.
Just send back
Same
a form.
Thing. Same
send
thing.
Back a form that you submit online to get it. You don't need to send money. You just need to send them personal information, your bank account number, social security, and date of birth so that they can wire the funds into your account.
Oof. Not.
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 Just remember, when you're asked for personal information, more likely than not, it's a scam.
Right.
Don't give it up.
No reputable bank or credit card company would ask you for personal information over email or over the phone, even.
And I want to say that this happened, you know, look, I'm going to say... Even Lenny. Who's Lenny?
Your mother.
My mother. Lenny.
Who likes to call you Mouthy.
Yes.
Oh.
How'd I get that
wow.
out?
Lenny got a call from somebody who said that she had won some prize.
Oh, this is a bad one. I know
and
this
she
one.
Just needed to give them a check
right.
for whatever the amount was. It didn't matter.
To cover the shipping costs.
The shipping costs.
Right, right.
Yeah. And so she gave them, but, you know, she gave it to them over the phone, her check account number.
Ugh.
See, they prey on.
Yes.
They prey on older people.
The routing numbers, yeah. Ugh.
They prey on older people.
They do.
And so she called and said, you're never going to believe this. And it happens all the time. My partner got a check at the office for, you know, that we had a deposit into the escrow. And then once it clears, blah, blah, blah. There's so many different scams. Here's the thing. Come on, folks.
If it sounds too good. Yeah. If it sounds really good. It's not
if it's
true.
It's too,
not.
Good
too good to
be
true.
True.
It's not true.
It's not true.
Well, we do have a caller. This is Court Radio on 107.9 WRMB. Keep in mind, if you have any legal questions, you can reach us right here and right now. 215-263-1079. It's an anonymous caller from Philadelphia.
Anonymous.
Good morning. You're live on the air with Court Radio.
Yes. Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
I would like to know, how can the babies, can the father be added to the birth certificate after the baby is born?
Yes.
Yes. If he,
how do you go about doing it?
I suspect if the mother of the baby is not cooperative, then there would need to be a paternity test to establish.
No, she just didn't put it on there when the baby was born. Nobody's disagreeing that it's not his child. We just don't know how to get the name on the birth certificate. Now that the baby is a year and a half old.
I believe, and I'm not sure, because this is a very specific issue, but the Bureau of Vital Statistics, sounds like a real special thing, but Pennsylvania has a Bureau of Vital Statistics. They're the ones that you get birth certificates from and get certified records from. That would probably be the place that could answer the question as to how to go about doing that. Probably requires some type of application. And signatures from the mother and maybe even from the hospital. I don't know. But that would be the first place I would go. If you have internet access, Pennsylvania Bureau of Vital Statistics, I'm sure they have questions and answers on there.
And if you don't get the answer to the Bureau of Vital Statistics
yeah.
on Tuesday morning, Then on Tuesday, give David a call at 215-227-2727, and he will research it and get you the answer by then.
I would gladly do that.
215-227-2727. Thanks, and have a great Sunday.
All right, thank you.
All right. We also have Kim calling in from Mount Laurel, New Jersey. Good morning. You're live in the air with Court Radio.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Doing fine. Thank you so much. What's your question?
I have a question regarding divorce proceedings.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
My boyfriend is legally separated from his wife, and they have been for over 10 years living apart. What steps does he have to go through in order to begin divorce proceedings if he doesn't know where she is? She's somewhere in Philadelphia, but we don't know the exact address.
That's a very interesting question. You got to file what's called a complaint in divorce.
A what?
A complaint and divorce.
Yeah, complaint and divorce. And like any complaint, any lawsuit that one files, you have to serve it on the defendant. And that's where the problem lies. He's got to get the address for his soon-to-be ex-wife. And if he can't get the address, and you know, private investigators can get addresses, you can write to the Postmaster General and ask for the last known address or a forwarding address for the person. Our producer here, Red Chris, is having a spate of too loud radios, so turn your radio down because mm-hmm. he's giving me the face. And the point is, you have to get the address, and if you can't, you can serve her at the last known address if you get a court order permitting you to do that. All that I've said, essentially, for the most part, requires an attorney to do it. With proper representation, getting her served shouldn't be a big deal. But you're going to have, you know, it's not something in all likelihood that he's going to be able to do on his own, nor does it sound like he's had the, you know, that he's that's been a priority since it's been 10 years. And if I can pull a topic out from an older show, I want to just say one last thing, and that is, people don't always realize this, but you cannot disinherit a spouse. Mm-hmm. So if he never got divorced from that woman and he passes, she gets one third of his estate, even if he didn't write a will, or he wrote a will, he gave it all to you, gave it all to his kids, didn't matter. She can take it, just reach in and grab one third of his estate. If that's not a reason to get rid of somebody you haven't seen in 10 years, I don't know what is. Have a great Sunday here.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right. We also have Annie calling in from Philadelphia with a question. Good morning. You're live on the air with Court Radio.
Yes, my name is Annie Huntley, and yes. I'm legally blind. And someone stole my Social Security card. It was in the house.
Okay.
And I did call the police, but he didn't make a record of it. So I called my bank, and I closed up all of my accounts. Hmm. And I also had them to call me if anybody's going to open up a account on my name.
Okay.
But I have a feeling it's my children, because they have did some things for me, and I'm legally blind, and I don't see that well, so I have to depend upon someone.
Did you contact the credit bureaus?
Yeah, I contacted the credit bureau.
Good, good.
TransUnion, I contacted them.
Excellent.
And then I also told them, if anybody's going to open up an account for me, to call me.
That's right.
You did everything that you absolutely needed to do, and you should be commended for it, because that last little bit, which we haven't talked about, but you mentioned, is that you can put I didn't explain it completely. You can put this fraud alert mm-hmm. on your credit, which you did, and then no new credit can be established as long as that fraud alert is on there and you have not given permission for the credit to be established.
Right.
So even though somebody may have your Social Security number, it sounds like you've done what you need to do to protect your credit, and we commend you for it.
And I want to tell you this, because I closed up all of my accounts.
Right.
And so what I'm doing, I'm using cash money if I have to buy anything. But I'm an older person, like 80 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't and I don't, you know, buy a lot of stuff. So what if I have to need something, I use cash.
Right.
Well, that's an old-fashioned kind of way of doing things.
It's a pain in the neck, right, though? They created a big pain in the neck, though, for you.
How did it do that?
But at least you did everything right, and you did it the right way. And as Dean said, we're going to give you a round of applause here.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
All right, have a great Sunday.
So anyway, that's all I need to do?
That's it. You've done it.
I believe so.
Yep.
The one thing that, Dean, maybe you can answer this. You said something about calling the FTC. Do you know what that does other than notify them?
Yeah, it actually notifies them, and then they create
a database
of fraudulent activity.
I guess if you wanted to do that, you could. That's not going to be ultimately helpful to you, let's say, but it gives a record of how many times people have been abused by this type of
1-877 ID theft.
Wait 1 second.
Okay.
You call
FTC, Federal Trade Commission. FTC. Yes.
C.
Yes.
Okay.
1-877
1-877
ID theft.
Give me the numbers because I can't.
Okay.
Okay.
C. Well, let's see. 4-3-8
4-3-8
4-3-3-8
4-3-3-8
Yep.
And
you got it.
That's FIC.
FTC.
FTC.
Yeah, Federal Trade Commission.
All right.
Okay. I do appreciate that very, very much. But this is not going to have anything on my credit report, will it?
Nope.
No, that's why you called the TransUnion. They now are going to prevent things from getting on your credit report.
Oh, that's so wonderful.
Yeah.
I thank you so much.
Thank you for being a loyal listener, and have a great Sunday.
Great. Thank you, and have a nice holiday, both.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye. Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.
This is Court Radio on Philadelphia's R&B station 107.9 WRMB. Remember now, if you've been injured from an automobile accident, a slip and fall, work-related mishap, or medical negligence, you can call the attorneys at Silvers, Langsam & Weitzman, better known as MyPhillyLawyer.com. So don't you give it a second thought. Call for your free personal consultation, and remember, they don't get paid until you get paid. They have over 100 years of combined experience, so let them aggressively fight for you. Just sit back and get well. Call them tomorrow at 215-227-2727, 215-227-2727, or visit their informative website at MyPhillyLawyer.com.
Thank you, Ms. Bacon.
You're welcome.
My Philly Lawyer, when losing is not an option.
Mm-hmm.
And when is it really an option? We don't like to lose. Nobody likes to lose. So when losing is not an option, call 215-227-2727.
All right.
We have some more callers.
Okay. We have Nikisha calling in from Burtsville. Nikisha?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi. Good morning. You're live on the air with Court Radio.
I'm going to have a question about a judgment that was placed on my fiance's credit report.
Mm-hmm.
He received information in the mail about this judgment that was going to be filed against him. He's supposed to show up to court. So he hired a lawyer. The lawyer was representing him. And then all of a sudden, the lawyer just got out of Dodge. Like, we hadn't heard from him. We tried to contact him. And so there was an automatic judgment placed on his credit.
Okay.
Even with the lawyer representation.
Well, maybe the lawyer.
Doesn't sound like much representation. If
yeah.
But actually, the same lawyer represented me before, and everything was fine. I know he had a couple hardships, but I don't know why he just never contacted us after that.
Okay. Well,
so,
did your fiance? You said your fiance, right?
Yes.
Did he go to the court hearing?
No, because it was already supposed to be. The lawyer was doing something.
I see.
To where he didn't have to come.
All right. So the judgment was entered. Now, where are you in that process?
It's there, and he has gotten credit since then. Like, he just purchased a car yesterday through his credit union and things like that, and he's gotten credit cards since then. But it wasn't that long ago, maybe 2 years.
If he disputes the judgment, then you can attempt to open, it's called opening the judgment, and that would need to be, something would need to be filed by an attorney, a petition to open the judgment and explain why it should be opened, meaning we relied upon an attorney. We thought it was going to be something was going to happen. It wasn't. So we needed to be open so that we can re-argue the merits of whether the judgment should be entered or not. But you would need an attorney definitely to do all that for you.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
That should be
much.
Done as soon as possible, too, because once they start what's called executing on the judgment, then you might not be able to prevent that because the judgment's in court. And
by the way, just out of curiosity, how much is the judgment for?
I think it's for $5,000, I think.
$5,000,
okay.
Okay. Well, certainly something to consider, possibly having the judgment, what David's saying is have it struck and opened. And then you get to come into court and start all over again if you can prove that it should not have been entered in the first place.
Correct.
All right?
Thank you so much.
No problem. Sure. Have a great day.
Have an awesome day. From North Philadelphia, we have Mo calling in with a question. Good morning. You're live on the air with Court Radio.
Good morning. I'm Mo from North Philly.
Hey, Mo.
You little devil, you.
You little devil. Yeah.
So, Mo, what's going on in North Philly today?
Hey, man, everything's going on in North Philly, man. You know, everything. Everything's good, though.
All right. Yeah. Do you actually have a question, or are we just calling with good tidings?
Well, I have good tidings from your office as well, and I'm not just promoting you. You know, I don't want to do that over the air, but I just wanted to send a shout-out to your office, to Frank Brightman.
All right.
Wow, to Philly Frank Brightman.
Philly Frank.
Yeah. And as well as yourself, Dave.
All right.
But I think you're the best, man.
Thank you, Mo. Thank you.
I didn't really have a big question, but I did want to send a shout-out to my Philly lawyer.
I'm sure Dean doesn't mind that you didn't have a question.
All right, well, you gentlemen, have a good weekend and have a pleasant holiday.
You too, Mo. Take care.
Bye-bye. Have a good one.
Thank you.
All right.
We're getting close to the end of this edition of the program. I think we have time for maybe one or two more callers, depending on how long they are.
I can get them on and off quickly. Go ahead.
Excuse me. Well, yeah, we're waiting for them to come in. Yeah. But in the meantime, if you want to wrap up.
Yeah, here's the deal. Your personal and private information is personal and private, and that's what needs to stay in order to protect you ultimately from identity theft. Don't give information out over the internet. Don't give information out in person. Don't give your social security number away, you know, willy-nilly, and keep it out of your wallet. And you'll go a long way to protecting yourself. If you suspect that you may have been the subject of identity theft, you can get a free credit report once a year at freecreditreport.com. That's it. Freecreditreport.com.
It's the commercial.
Yeah.
They were sued, though, for claiming it was a free credit report. And then when you go through the whole process, you were actually getting charged something for it.
Oh.
But I think they did away, to their credit, I think they...
To their credit.
No pun intended. I think they did away with that. And you actually do get a free credit report now.
Okay.
So kudos to them for correcting their little problem they had.
And remember... If it seems too good to be true,
yes,
it is. Nobody's giving away free money. Nobody's giving away free turkeys. Stop. It's not happening.
Right. And there's no one in some outlying country that needs to get $5 million into. They want you to help them. If you have a bank account, I want to put $5,000 in it. We'll give you a fee of $250,000. All we need is your banking information and, of course, a $5,000 deposit so we can ship it over to you.
And call your legislature and tell them to enact laws that actually protect us. We got another caller. Go.
Yep, final call of the morning. Okay. James calling in from Chester, Pennsylvania. Good morning. You're live on the air with Court Radio.
How you doing?
Good. Fine. Right. How are you?
What's up, James?
Oh, so good. Okay, I had a lot of credit cards in the past, 25 years since I was out of high school. And what happened was I credited all of them up. And it been like 20, 22 years. Now I want to, you know, get them things, you know, situated. And I call one of those credit agencies.
Yes.
They straighten your credit up. I mean, straighten all those bad credit.
Yes.
And the amount, it was like, astronomical. I couldn't pay for that.
Okay. Well, I don't think, after 22 years, I don't think you need a credit reporting agency. I think what you need to do is to begin to reestablish credit. I don't think that bad credit from 22 years ago should be still following you around.
Yeah, that's crazy.
The problem is that you don't have bad credit, you have no credit, which may be almost as bad as bad credit.
Are you saying that you owe money?
Excuse me, I didn't hear you.
Do you say that you owe money?
Well, no. I owe those credit cards and that I used up. I still owe them. But like I said, I talked to a lawyer. And he said that since it's been past 7 years, that I don't need to pay any longer.
That's right.
I don't need to worry about it any longer. Just call the get in contact with the with these people that I owe and tell them it's been past 7 years.
Okay, you don't have to call them.
You don't have to.
Here's a question. Let me ask you a question. Did you recently pull your credit report?
No, I didn't do it. But the guy that's going to fix my credit report, he pulled it.
Okay, forget him. Forget him. You go on to freecreditreport.com. And you get a copy of your own credit report, and then you look at that, see what's on there, and if there's any inaccurate information on there, you can very simply call or write or email them. There's many different ways, and they will correct your credit report and get it squared away. I had to do it myself. I went on. There was things on there that shouldn't have been on there. There was inaccurate information. And I went through step by step and I wrote to them. And I got my credit report cleaned up. And each time I got it cleaned up, my credit score went up a little bit and a little bit and a little bit. So you want to get on and you want to see what's on there. And frankly, if it's been 22 years, there shouldn't be a heck of a lot on there to begin with.
I don't think they put things on there from way back.
Anything more than 10 years should be removed from your...
That's correct.
From your credit report. So you shouldn't see anything on there. But if you do, that might be a problem in to itself, and you might be able to write to them and have it corrected. But start self-help in this instance, I think, is the better avenue. Start by getting your credit report and seeing if it's accurate. Okay?
Okay, one more thing. When I did try to
is this a double dip question, sir?
It's the same.
You should have seen Tiffany's face. Nothing. Go ahead.
I tried to get my credit report, and they told me that I didn't live here. They told me that I didn't live here, but I gave them proof of my birth certificate, not birth certificate, but my Social Security card, and also my electric bill, and I sent it to them and emailed it to them, and they said I didn't live here. It was some type of, I don't know what they said. I really don't know what they said.
Well, I don't know what they said. If you don't know, we don't know. I certainly don't know what they said. But I can tell you that you're entitled to your credit report, and you should be able to get it. And if you can't get it, then you probably. I think I do recall now. When I was online, they asked me for some information like, what's the mortgage? What's your account number or the last four digits of your account number on your mortgage, or how much was your mortgage payment? Because they want to establish that it's you, that it's the person who's actually requesting his or her credit report, and not me requesting your credit report so that I can fraud you. And if you can't get the information just the way they have it in their file, then they think that it might not be you, and they don't give it.
Correct.
And they don't give it up. So
that might have been what happened.
No doubt that's what happened. But there's a way around that. There's a toll-free number you can call them, and you can get that squared away. They'll ask you some information in order to establish that you're getting the proper credit report and that you're not some fraud. So I would say continue to pursue that with all diligence. It may be a little difficult, but at the end of the day, I think you will get your credit report, and that will be a good step in the right direction for reestablishing credit. All right?
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Have a good day.
Let me have one comment real quick because he reminded me of it. There's a lot of these companies now out there that are all over the radio and TV saying, we're going to call us, we'll fix your credit, don't go into bankruptcy, we'll cut down your debt and pay. You got to be very careful. A lot of those companies are not good and charge a lot of money, believe it or not. So we don't have time to go into that right now, but just be very wary of these credit saving companies that do the work for you apparently and save you all this money and pay off. Again, If they say, we're going to cut your credit obligations in half and pay it all off for you, if it sounds a little bit too good to be true, it probably isn't true. So.
Why diss an individual when you can diss an entire industry?
No,
that's
no, no.
What
I'm
say.
Saying there are some. You got to be careful.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You got to be a informed consumer. You can't just indiscriminately call any of them and expect them to be good. You need to do a little research. That's
Listen,
all I'm saying.
Don't get so defensive. I well, think it's good to diss an industry. You know?
Okay, let's not start a fight in the last 30 seconds of the show, fellas.
Come on. Come on.
You're funny.
Okay.
Well, that's the end or the close of another edition of Court Radio. We thank you so much for listening. Much love going out to David and, of course, to Dean.
Happy Labor Day to you, Tiffany, and to the rest of the listeners. We'll see you next Sunday for another interesting episode of Court Radio.
Yes, we also send a lot of love out to our producer, Red Chris, for always doing an awesome job. Please don't touch that dial. Philly Speaks with E. Stephen Collins is coming up next. Have a peaceful, positive, and productive day. Bye-bye.
.9 WRNB.